This text is being fulfilled today, even as you listen. He called himself the Christ, the Anointed One. He had liberated lepers, healed the sick, but they would not accept him. They lacked transparency. They lacked fidelity to the word. Your words, Lord, are spirit and life. Words have power. In the first reading, Ezra is called to empower God's people, to encourage them who'd been in exile in Babylonia. They'd forgotten how to worship the Lord, so he was there to instruct them. It took the whole day. You're basically just going through the scriptures, and the word of God had power to set them free. In like manner, as we begin St. Luke's Gospel, the ordered account, for you are Theophilus, the lovers of God, he likes to provide all that Jesus said. He records well the words about Jesus, who is the Word of God. The power of words. Words are central to our lives. They're like the meat in the sandwich of each day and of daily worship. For our worship of God involves heart, head, and hands. Our thoughts, our words, and our actions, our gestures. Sometimes there is conformity of all three aspects. That's what we call transparency. We're true blue, we're true to type. We walk the talk. What's happening here is what we're saying there, and the actions follow. But sometimes there's discord, disharmony, a lack of transparency. And that's what we find in the gospel here. The Jews desired to see Jesus, but as Jesus of Nazareth, not as the Christ, the Anointed. Their thoughts and their words weren't in harmony. And this text goes on to say how they then turned on the Lord and wanted to do away with him because he claimed to have divine power. And they were unwilling to accept that. But behind this is a lack of transparency in their thoughts, words, and actions. For words are truly power and life. On a regular basis, we utter words to God. We pray, verbal prayer. Let's make sure our thoughts are connected to our words. When we stand to say the Our Father later, think about the words we say. A parrot can mimic words, but there's no meaning behind those words. The thoughts aren't there because they can't think. So our thoughts and words and then what we do ought to be in harmony so that we give worship to God as human beings. We're not angels nor animals. All three have to be in sync. And with Australia Day coming up this week, Australia Day, it's good to ask ourselves on Wednesday, what makes an Australian? And we'll hear some of our favourite ballads and tunes. Perhaps we'll hear Walt sing Matilda, a favourite of everyone. Or perhaps Advance Australia Fair. Which is your favourite? Some Australians have the intention of replacing Walt sing Matilda with our national anthem. What do you think? What say ye? Which is the more popular? Which is the more appropriate? I would say, which is the more transparent? Do the words of Waltzing Matilda sum up Australia, the spirit of all Aussies? I wonder. Let's examine the origins of Waltzing Matilda. This famous song or poem about a swagman bearing his Matilda, that's the swag, which is the waltz on his back as he walked along the road, plod along. It evokes sentiments of bush survival and class warfare. It depicts a poor, starving bloke who steals a jumbuck, a lamb, and is caught in the act by the authorities and ends up dying, drowning in a billabong. He obviously couldn't swim. It bears the hallmark of reality and perhaps veiled politics. It was written by Banjo Patterson in Winton, Western Queensland, in the summer of 1895 to 1896. The words were written as a poem, and then on that occasion, the music was composed by Christina McPherson. It's the two who produced what we have today. Who was Christina? We who live so close to Morgan's Lookout on the Walbundri Road should know who she is because of her inarticulate utterances that Mad Dog Morgan was finally arrested and killed. who was Mad Dog Morgan. Dan Morgan was a murderer and rightly called mad. He may have been psychotic or bipolar, he had a very tragic upbringing, but he could be very pleasant to you as he was robbing you, but then turn into a fit of rage, utter violence, which led to the death of Sergeant McGinnity at Tumbarumba in 1864. Then in another robbery, he killed a policeman at Culcairn. And then the poor tragic story of John McLean at Round Hill near Morven, his death in 1865. So Mad Dog Morgan, whose lookout's just down the road, wasn't a Robin Hood bushranger. He had long, plaited hair, dark features, somewhat like Rasputin. I'm saying he was possessed, but he was a fearful sight, a man bent on robbery and murder. Now, it was in 1865 that he had bailed up, arrested, the McPhersons in their home. He had them all in their lounge room at Peachyabba Station, which is near the Murray on the way to Yarrawonga. And their newborn baby was Christina. Yes, a newborn, a few months old, and that newborn baby wanted attention. Now, Mad Dog would put up with some things, but he couldn't put up with a screaming child. So he let one of the women, a nurse, leave the lounge room to sort out the child in the other room. And this nurse had enough savvy to not only look after Christina, but to get out the window, go to the neighbours next door and tell them what was happening. They contacted the police. The police arrived during the early hours in the morning and waited for dawn. And at dawn, as Mad Dan was leaving with the wealth of the home, they assaulted him, bailed him up, and he died, shot dead. Which he kind of thought, well, this isn't fair. How dare you bail me up? Anyway, that kind of marked the home for the McPhersons. I didn't want to stay there much. Who would? So they moved from there up to Queensland, and that picks up our story with Banjo Patterson. 30 years had passed. Christina was rather attractive. She was good with music. And it's during this time that Banjo was visiting their station called Dagworth Station in the summer, and of course Banjo was engaged to a woman called Sarah Riley. They'd been engaged for 5 or 6 years, and Sarah's dad said to Banjo, why don't you marry my daughter? You know, she's getting on to 30, come on. And Banjo said, oh, I just don't have the money. He could have the money to buy horses and play polo, but something was missing here. He didn't have the money to marry Sarah. Anyway, they're up there at the property, and whilst riding around with Bob McPherson, the brother of Christina, he was told about this thieving swagman who actually drowned in the Diamantina River just down here. And then later on he learned that the year before, in 1894, shearers had striked, seeking just wages because there's a drought, and the pastoralists were trying to push down their wages. And the McPhersons had 80,000 sheep in need of shearing. And therefore, since they couldn't get the normal shearers, they employed what they call scabs, or free workers, who would work at a lower rate. As a result, unionists attacked the McPherson property and were hiding out in the billabong, which was dry, near the property. And they launched their attack one morning and burnt down their shearing shed and caused much havoc. Later on, the McPhersons with the police, the troopers, would go out in search of these unionists and found one called Sam Hoffmeister in the dry billabong. And there he died. He died from a bullet wound to the head. The troopers said he committed suicide. Others said no, he was murdered by the troopers. And that answers a bit of what was happening in the poem of Banjo Patterson. So they're the origins of what was happening there, of this great song. And we ought to know its origins. I think it tells well the plight of Aussies at the time. But I think it lacks objectivity, and it's not as comprehensive as Advance Australia Fair. That, in subtle words, portrays the grandeur and glory of this sunburnt country. Behind the words, however, lies something else, an event, and we don't know really what happened. But during the composition, as Banjo was penning the poem and Christina was giving the notes, perhaps there was just too much company, and Sarah, the fiancée, was just looking on. But something did happen. We don't know whether it was in thought, word, or deed. head, heart, or hands. But something may have happened with all of the above, because Banjo left the property in a hurry without Sarah, went back down to Sydney, the engagement was off. And the close friendship between the two girls, Christina and Sarah, never really took off. That was severed for life. And what's interesting is both women, both attractive, good families, never married. They remained spinsters. So there's a lack of transparency there in the composition of the poem itself. That's some history regarding Australia Day on Wednesday. Let's celebrate our history and pray that in this new year of 2022, that we may be transparent in our worship of God, in thought, word, and deed, so that we too may be true blue and give honour to his name.